When my next guest went to university to study French, she couldn't have predicted that some years later she'd end up a specialist in several Aboriginal languages. Rachel Nordlinger is her name. She's a professor in the School of Languages and Linguistics at the University of Melbourne and a lot more besides. She spent much of her academic life, her professional life, describing and documenting the specific grammatical structures of languages from the Northern Territory, particularly one language, Murrinpata, spoken around Wadare in the Daly River region. But what underlines her scholarship, her academic work, is something much deeper. Because you can't learn a language without deeply engaging with the culture that that language describes.
I'm Rachel Nordlinger, and I'm a professor of linguistics at the University of Melbourne. And I'm also chief investigator of the ARC Centre of Excellence for the Dynamics of Language.
What particularly fascinates you about the languages that you've worked with or the languages that you've studied?
The languages I've studied, the Aboriginal languages I've studied, have a number of really unique and interesting grammatical properties that are very different from what we find in English and other more well-studied European languages, and many of which really challenge our universal theories of how language works. So by looking at these languages, we've really learned a lot more about what the human brain can do with language and how diverse language can be. One example that I often talk about is that a lot of Aboriginal languages have grammatical categories, so that's meaning built into your grammar that you have to express every time you make a sentence. They have grammatical categories that are based on kinship, and we don't really find that very often in other languages of the world. So as an example, Murrinpata, which is a language spoken in Wadare that I'm working on at the moment, it has a grammatical category of sibling, and you have to change your verb. Every time you talk about a group of people, you need to mark on the verb whether the group of people you're talking about are related as siblings or not. And there's no way to form a grammatical Murrinpata sentence without making that distinction grammatically on the verb. And that's something that we haven't found, that we're not aware of any other language in the world that has a grammatical category of sibling like that. And that's pretty special.
What drew you to these languages, the languages of this place, of this continent?
I was studying linguistics at university. At first, I came to university to study French. I'd always loved languages, and I thought that the only way to do anything with languages was to just try to learn languages. So I thought I'd do French at university, and then I started doing linguistics and realized that there was a whole science of language that I could engage with. And as one of the subjects I took in my undergraduate degree, there was about Aboriginal languages of Australia, taught by Professor Nick Evans, who's now at the ANU. And in that subject, I got introduced to how fascinating and interesting the languages are. And then I had an opportunity to go and do some field work with the Bilyanada community on Pigeonhole Station in the Northern Territory, Victoria River Downs region. And I went up there for 6 weeks and worked with the old men who were the last fluent speakers of that language. And I just got completely hooked. I mean, then I realized it wasn't just the languages, it was the people and the culture and the land and everything about it was so wonderful. I've never really looked back.
You either learn about another person's culture through their language, or you learn another person's culture and then want to learn their language.
Right.
So communication is so key to understanding who Aboriginal people are, and also I think who Australians, what Australian actually means. But you came to it from the language side, and then developed an affinity with the people.
Absolutely. And you also realize that language and culture are intricately linked, mm-hmm. and you can't really study the language without engaging with the culture, and you can't engage with the culture without knowing and appreciating the language. There's no way to separate the two.
One of those interesting things you were talking about off air, and that is all those you know, sometimes very complex structures and vocabulary that we have for mm-hmm. kinship terms. There's a lot of, you know, I think there has been a belief perhaps that Aboriginal languages are not dense, that they're not rich. And I find the opposite.
Oh, absolutely.
There's so much depth and richness, just if we just even think of the kinship terms, but then talk about features of the land, particular places.
Oh, absolutely.
Animals.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think there has been a bit of a myth that Aboriginal languages are somehow simpler or don't have the complexity of words and meaning, but it's just so far from the truth. I mean, every language does it in different ways, and then there are areas in Aboriginal languages that are way more complex in terms of the words and the meanings being expressed than what we find in the equivalent in English. And we talked about kinship as one of those domains. So kinship in many Aboriginal languages is a very, very complex domain. There's a lot of words to describe different types of kinship relations and relations that are very different from the ones that we use our English words for. So, I mean, you would know this, but just a very simple example. In English, the word mother really only means your biological mother or someone who grew you up and took on that role as mother, whereas in many Aboriginal languages, the word that we would translate as mother actually means something quite different. It also usually refers to your mother's sisters. It refers to a whole lot of other people in the community who may not actually be biologically your mother, but are in that role and in that skin or kinship group. So there's a very different way of thinking about kinship, and the words are really very, very different. But also, as you said, there's a lot of complexity in Aboriginal languages around words for the environment and how to talk about the animals and the plants and the seasons and, you know, so much more complexity than we have in English.
So most of your work in the Northern Territory?
Yeah, I've only worked in the Northern Territory, yeah.
And what do you, I mean, it's hard, I guess you probably get cast into this role of like speaking about Indigenous languages in a very general sense.
Yeah.
When your kind of knowledge, your fieldwork is very much about, you know, that very linguistically diverse and vibrant part of the world.
Yeah.
But do you kind of sometimes think, well, I can't really talk about Indigenous languages because there's so many of them?
Oh, yeah, all the time, all the time. And it's a constant tension between trying to keep things at a understandable level and not getting caught up in the detail. But you feel like you always need to say, well, but really it's just some that work like that. Others work differently and it can be very difficult. I mean, they are all very, very different. And as we were saying before, it's like trying to generalize across all of Europe and say, you know, that there's something that every language does. Of course it doesn't. So, yeah.
The word genius, in trying to, you know, communicate that more widely, what do you think the heart of that genius is when you talk about the genius of Indigenous languages?
Yeah, well, I guess I've used that word intentionally as a sort of ambiguous word, because what I want to convey is genius in terms of fascinating brilliance and human achievement in developing these languages. And I think there is often a lot of our discourse around language and in Australia, Indigenous language is talking about loss and sadness around the fact that many languages are losing speakers and so on. And I wanted to try to change that into something much more positive and have people really understand the real genius in these languages. But also I think there's a real essence to Aboriginal languages to the extent that we can generalize across them, which is hard to, but they have developed for at least 60,000 years and quite probably more, quite uninfluenced by other languages of the world. And in that sense, they've really developed in their own way to talk about this land and to talk about the culture and the people of this land. And that makes them really, really special.
Rachel Nordlinger from the School of Languages and Linguistics at the University of Melbourne. Rachel is Chief Investigator in the ARC Centre for Excellence for the Dynamics of Language, and she's Director of the Research Unit for Indigenous Language.